First reading from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy in the 31st chapter. Just three verses. So don't tune in late. Deuteronomy's with the tribes of Israel nearly done with their 40 years. And Moses has given them some last words. Here's a pep talk. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as be strong and courageous, Moses said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you.
Glad to be here. Please don't blame Peter for what happens. He's not responsible for what I'm about to do. Just give me a minute, and I got it set up. I'm a little bit. I just got to set up a few things. Please bear with me. My name is Benjamin, but everybody calls me Precision. That's my name. It's just I love precision. It's important to be precise. I brought my degree with me, just in case. By the way, this is written in Latin, and never in my whole 4 years with Peter and Carol did they ever teach me how to read my own degree. So I just brought that there because it's precise, don't you know? We'll just put it here. There. I have some other things. Just bear with me. This is one of my favorite things. Let's see if it works. Because precision, you have to sharpen your pencils. Excuse me a minute here. Oh, yes, you have to sharpen your pencils. All right, we're ready. Oh, my goodness. So this is my favorite sound. Can you hear that? I got so excited one day, I sharpened all my ballpoint pens. It was awful. Here's another one. Just bear with me. I know it's tough. I know. My wife. Oh, thank you. All right. I just love that noise. So we're good. We're good. I have a Bible. We're in church, right? So I brought a Bible. All right. Oh, I have two pairs of glasses. Oh, all right. I think I'm ready. I got some envelopes. That's for later. Here we go. Okay. All right. I think I'm ready. All right. I'll put that here. Again, Peter's not responsible. Please let him. and he's moving back slowly. But anyway, holiness only shows up in the third decimal place. Did you know that? It's really about precision. God is not blessed by rounding. Precision is the degree of refinement that an operation is performed or a measurement stated. I just love the sound of that. By the way, I may not have any idea where I'm going, but I can tell you to the nanosecond when I get there. Oh, excuse me, I lost my page. I was a physics major. I might have to start all over again because I can't arrange the pages. All right, it's coming. I hate printing on both sides of a page. All right, well, I'll have to wing it. Oh, dear, that'll be dangerous. Everybody, are you ready? Get out your calculators. We're going to calculate. Come on. Do I have to speak to you firmly? The calculator is what you can make occasional phone calls on it. You know, it's that black thing you carry around. Ticked with you today. First of all, 3,000 divided by 26. Anybody? Excuse me? Well, I need a few more decimal places, sir. Oh, doesn't that just warm your heart? Thank you. All right, let's do another one. Let's have not the same people raise their hands. 300 times 3 divided by 26. Did anyone ever see the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Bueller? Bueller? Anyway, another. Anybody else? 300 times 3 divided by 26. Yes, please.
34.61538.46.
Thank you. Music to my ears. That was so much fun. Calculating is so much fun.
I don't know why I get so nervous this time of the month.
It's my wife.
It's so hard. Oh, hi. So today, I know we sang in a song today about not withholding gold or silver from the Lord. And God blesses us so much, doesn't he? I loved what you said about we're not born with a wallet. Everything we get comes from the Lord. And I just love, we get these big paychecks at the beginning of the month. I love that the easiest piece is the tithe, right? That's a firm number. We do that right off the top. And then I have all of this. This is all the stuff that we do and we buy. And my husband, I don't know if you've met him, but he's all about precision. And, oh, it makes me so nervous. We have to sit down every month and talk about what we're going to do with all of our money.
Can you see what I deal with? Can you see what I deal with?
Honey, I don't know where to put this because there wasn't enough money in that envelope. I don't know what to do.
Have you entered our receipts, dear, into our system? Precisely?
Well, I just never know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it.
It's so tough. It's so tough.
I'm going to go smell. I can't take it.
Precision.
Look,
that's what we need.
You dropped your envelopes.
Bless you.
It's so hard.
Meanwhile, somewhere else.
We have a friend, Carol, who's going to help us, too. You may have met her.
Mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest? Oh, I had such a good day yesterday. I went shopping. I bought things for me. I work 5 days a week, 5 whole days. And then I get a paycheck. And then I have to go shopping because I earned all that money and it's mine. And I just want to treat myself, and I deserve a treat, really, really. Well, I'm getting ready to go to church, and I'm wondering what to wear. So I think I'm going to wear my emeralds today, and I'll put that. Well, that's a little subdued. I think I need a little more. So let's see. I've got this lovely little bling, but. Oh, no, I don't think that's right. Oh, I just, you know, shopping and buying for myself quality things. You know, I used to have to get kind of like, you know, secondhand or junk things. Now I can get the good stuff. And so I think maybe I will wear my diamonds. You know, diamonds are a girl's best friend. They say that. So I'm going to put that on. Yeah, I don't know. I know those, got to go to church. I got to get going. I don't know. Oops, I'm having a little trouble. Okay. There we go. How's that? I think that looks okay. And I've got this nice little matching bling to go on my, and of course I don't want it under my sleeve. It has to be over my sleeve so everybody can see that beautiful bling. And then, you know, I really spend my money every week because I have nobody else to take care of, just me. And, you know, I got all that money. And I earned it. I earned it. It's mine. And I deserve all the good things that I can get out of it. Don't you think? So, yeah, I'm really pleased with doing that. And I just treasure these things. And so, you know, I bought some rings, too, you know, some nice clothes. I have a fur coat. Yeah, it's been really, really rewarding. Okay, now I'm ready. Okay, and now I got to go to church. I got my beautiful bag. And, there's an offering at church. There's always an offering at church. What have I got? I hope I have something. Oh, yeah, I got a dollar. I'll put a dollar in the offering plate. Okay, I'm ready.
I just like to thank Carol and Kathy for helping me. There's a point to all of this. The point is that Peter asked me, we've known each other a lifetime, and the older we get, the more I respect that man. But he asked me to share something personal about. I'm not sure if my stories are interesting or my experiences of any value, but I can take you on a little trip that encourages you to have your own story of stewardship, of walking with God. That's the goal, is to share whatever I got just long enough so you can have your own story. It won't mean anything until it means it to you and your background and your steps. And that's where I want to come from. I'm going to share some verses, some of which you've heard already, and my goal was to take it, not because I'm a Bible scholar, I was a physics major, but rather, and now I'm a senior business analyst, it kills me every time I say that, and, big deal, but anyway, I wanted to mean, not because I'm a scholar, but because it's meaningful. It means. It walks with me. The word walks with me. It energizes me. So let me in Hebrews, and it was quoted by what you read today together. And I'm going to try to get it from memory because I try to do it that way. So it's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it simply says, keep your life free from the love of money. Oh, I don't have to memorize it. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Old Testament, that's a quote from, I think it was Deuteronomy. And you really can't know what that means until you're in a place that you feel like you've been left behind. And you have to know what the opposite of it feels if you're going to walk in a place of strength. So I have a story to tell you later, but let's look at some more scripture. The thing I deal with more than anything else over and over again is when it comes to money, when it comes to resources of any kind, really. Because money is not your most precious resource, by the way. It's time. Time is your most precious resource. But in either case, there's a passage out of Haggai, if I say that correctly. It's during one of the revivals of the Jewish nation. They had a spotty time of it, up and down, over the centuries of that nation's existence. And this is the rebuilding of the second temple. They had been dispersed to Babylon, and now they were being called back. And the prophet was telling them about attitude. He was discussing their attitude with them. Our behaviors follow our attitudes. So let's hear what I didn't memorize this one. Let me bring it to you. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. This is a description of my most anxious place, that I work, and nothing happens. I still end up fill in the blank, homeless on the street, you know, whatever scenario there is. So the scripture covers the whole spectrum. It gives me the hope, but it also grounds me in what my attitudes might be, what the dangers are, what's at risk here. And so there's a spectrum that I've enjoyed of teaching and of encouragement. One more. This actually comes in three parts, and I hope I get the first two right. It's one of those things I've tried to remember every day, and it's something we touched on, we shared together earlier, Psalm 145, and I'll just start in the middle if I remember it correctly. I'm not going to remember it correctly, and I want to do service to the Word of God, so I won't corrupt it for you. But these are words that ring to me every day. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. There's a third one that I'll read in a moment, but I want to demonstrate it first. And all right, so here I am standing up here with a funny tie and throwing paper around. I'm going to ask you, do you trust me? Because I need you to stand up here. Do you trust me? I wouldn't. I'm going to have to tell what I'm doing up here. I'm going to ask you, five brave volunteers, to hold out your hand. No, I'm sorry. This is what's going to happen. I got to get it right. I'm going to walk to each one of the five. They're going to touch my fist, and they're going to. We'll see what happens. Watch carefully. I want to bring scripture to pop, to bring it alive. So here's the last verse. And you read it already today. I had a gift. And then I opened my hand, and there it was. And that's what our dear God does. And it promises it right here. If I can only find it. You open, verse 16 of that psalm, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. I can't possibly make that real to you. I can only share what's real to me. And there's a whole bunch more candy if anybody wants some. I can only hope it becomes real because you live it And I can tell you a story of when I lived it. And we'll see if it means. It's not an invitation to write your own story, is guess what I'm saying. So I went to Trinity with Peter and Carol. I graduated, Carol graduated way in front of us, so she's rough. But Peter and I graduated in 1981, and I had not a clue, none, zippo, what I was going to do with myself. So fast forward, I went to a graduate school. I got a marketable degree. I started life as in an insurance company as an analyst. For their analytical processes, and it was great. But in the middle of all that, I decided I really wanted to serve. I wanted to have a life that was more branded by service. So I went to teach math at a school that a friend and was opening up the school, and I was making a third or something. It was a private Christian school, and it was, you know, paying folks what they could. And that lasted about 10 years. And I lived there, I've worked there, I sensed my resources going down and down. Every year was a little less around me. And I eventually knew that I had to move to another career. So I had to change jobs again, a variety of reasons. So summer of 2005, actually, I was looking for work. And I didn't find it immediately. I actually had a series of technical jobs working on a computer desktop support. People would call. It was an hourly thing. And it's what I did. I kind of put it together, cobbled a little income together. But in this time, I bought a small condo, and I owed this horrific mortgage payment. Every month, it was stifling. It just overwhelmed me. I remember the number, it was $640 a month, which if you've paid mortgages lately, it's laughable. It was a small condo. I got it on the down low. You know, it was going to need a lot of work. But I was staggered by this payment. And my definition in my life of falling, you know how I read about bag with holes and wondering how bad it can get? My version of that was not being able to meet this commitment every month. I was obsessed with it. You may not have noticed, but I have a bit of an obsessive quality to me. And I was obsessed with meeting this number. And it was a Thursday the 15th. The bank was around the corner. And I owed $640. It was a Thursday, because the bank was open late on Thursdays. And in the morning, I knew it was due. I looked around, and I did not have it. My worst nightmare was about to come true. I'm the kind of raised up like a guy that said, you got to do this, you got to meet your commitments, you got to do it. You know, it's who you are. You just meet your commitments. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I wanted to. There was a bucket of change under my desk. It had maybe $120 in it. That's all I had. My plan, I don't know what I was doing the rest of the day. I had no hourly commitments, or, you know, no job that day. I was just saying, all right, I'm going to take my bucket of change. It's all I got. I'm going to walk around the corner, put it on the teller's desk, and say, this is what I got. But I didn't know what else to do. Everything was, it's hard to describe, but everything was at risk right there. My self-esteem, my future, it just was all in the balance right there. On the way to the bank, I opened the mailbox. And there was an early payment for $600 and something from a guy I worked for. He was a late payer. You'd work for him and it would show up 8 weeks later. But somehow he paid early for me that day. I could not believe it. I mean, I walked to the bank. My head was high. I was able to do what I was supposed to do. And life went on. And I had a marker, though. I have a marker to share with you about who these words are really all about. So I want everyone to have a marker like that. Whatever it is, whatever risk you want to take, whatever test, I don't want to be theological here, but whatever risk you want to take, whatever test you want to make to see and find out if these words are true. They are true. I'm here to tell you that they're true financially, they're true physically, they're true emotionally. Will supply your needs. And that's the story. That's why what we're about to do, that Peter said we'll have a piece of this work, is really important. There's a couple of more things I just want to share. There's sort of a way you walk through this thing called stewardship that might be helpful, that Kathy and I have developed between the two of us. And it does involve that box and these envelopes. And stress. do you remember the math problems I gave you? And I have them written down. And it's no need. There's no need to run it out to the ninth degree. But one of them was 300 divided by 26, I think. So, it's all faith. Excuse me, but it's a little bit of magic. I always think it's a little bit of like cooking spaghetti sauce. You don't really know. My mother never made the same meatloaf twice because it was sort of magic. Well, that's the kind of thing budgeting is. You plan it. You think about it. You do some arithmetic. In the end, you just trust in God. But at least you've put your thought, your brain. You have a brain. God expects you to use it. And so here's a system that you might use, you might think about using, especially if you're starting out or young or want to, you know, you can't find. The 300 divided, I'm sorry, it was 3,000 divided by 26. Kathy and I like to go on vacation. So it costs $3,000. It always does. Oh, it goes up every year. But basically, it's $3,000 to go on this vacation we like to take every year. So we get paid 26 times a year. So it's pretty simple. Divide, if you want to go on vacation, you divide 3,000 by 26, and you put it into an envelope called vacation. So you have that all set up. Yeah, I won't go through them all, but the other math problem was about, I love automobiles. I'm just nuts about cars. I have 5 of them. And to insure them, it costs like $300 a year. So 300 times 3 is the other math problem, divided by 26. Gets you a little bit of money every paycheck, every 26 paychecks, and you have to adjust it to the way your income is, goes in that envelope. But really, there's another one that is very important to us as a couple. And it's been, for Kathy and me, this has been important to us all of our adult lives, really. Oh, I'm sorry, it says tithe. And that's 10%. I guess it's what tithe means. And not to be technical with you, although it sounds very, here I go anyway, it's 10%. And the way we look at it, of our gross, it isn't just 10% more, at least I am, than shows up in my paycheck. So these envelopes are, there's like 30 of them, different envelopes. And by the end of the year, month to month, it's all set. I don't have to think about it. There are moments of stress, though, as Kathy demonstrated. Because the receipts and the transactions often run way ahead of the entry. And it's as much my fault as it is. And things go negative. Some of the envelopes have negative numbers in them. And if you'd like to know more, it's a software. It's really a software program. It's not physical envelopes that tracks with our checkbook. And it's called You Need a Budget. It's YNAB. It's on the internet. There is other. It's called envelope-based budgeting, and it's available on a wide variety of platforms. YNAB is one of them. There's others that you can use. So that was sort of the how-to, to put you in a place of strength, to put you in a place that you can write and find out the depth of God's provision. So thank you.